Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. How did the Republicans come off? That was one of the unique moments of the DNC in general, is the number of former or current GOP members that were willing to speak.
Well, I think it's powerful. I think it's interesting. I think if you can say, you know, hey, this person used to be on the Chicago Bears, and now here they are at Lambeau talking about how we're going to help win a Super Bowl because they're on the Packers now. I think that did play.
That's going to be hot.
So live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Eight 13 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Taking you to the weekend, Eric Bilstead, Vince Vitrano. Greg Pancake Hill produces the program. We've had Adam Roberts on the news and Debbie on the roads this morning. We will talk live with WTMJ's John Mercure. He was at the convention in Chicago, was there for all the speeches on Thursday night.
He was there for the anniversary party.
And happy anniversary, Dougie.
Was that mentioned earlier in the evening? I caught the front end of the VP's speech.
I may have been. They were having their anniversary at the same time.
Nice little touch. Yeah.
You had to work tonight. Not very special for me, I guess. Yeah. Come to your work party.
With 20,000 other people.
A big work party you had to go to. Not much of an anniversary.
We will talk more about the Democratic National Convention when we talk live with John Mercure at 8:40 this morning. I want to bring you this story, and it's because I think our idea of how easy this is to do is, first of all, distorted, and it's also misplaced energy. This was, at best, a haphazard and sloppy effort, at worst, deliberately deceptive and illegal. Virtually no one, with the exception of Milwaukee school board directors who are trying to clean up the mess that they helped make, is defending what's gone on at MPS for the last several months that we've learned about the mistakes, the misdeeds, the misreporting on the school's finances that have left the district in crisis. So angry were the people of Milwaukee that an effort to recall some of those board members was born. The president and the vice president of the board were among targets of that effort that we now know from the Milwaukee Election Commission fell woefully short by thousands of signatures. But a good piece of reporting by TMJ4's Megan Lee, it suggests it may be more than simply a failed attempt, and it's a movie we've seen before. The thousands of pages of documents that were submitted by recall organizers appear to be full of names, places, and addresses that don't even exist. And before I share more on that, let me back up and just talk a little bit more about how this works. In order to force a recall of an elected official, organizers need to follow a very specific legal process, part of which is gathering these signatures. So we always talk about the signatures, they turn in the signature.
Yep.
I don't know if people who haven't been involved in this really understand what that all means. So you have to gather these signatures of people who live in the affected area or district, as it were. You got to get them to sign a petition. Recall petitions are a form. Organizers have to state a reason for the recall. They have to fill that in on the form. Circulators then, so people who go out, person to person, hand to hand combat, right? People on the ground need to get these signatures from folks in that district in person, from people who are qualified to sign the document. 10 signatures per page. That's what the document looks like. People who sign need to put their name, their signature, their address, and a date.
It's an effort.
Yes.
It's a lot of an effort. It really is.
And importantly, the usual volunteer, right, who is circulating the petition also needs to sign each and every page, certifying that he or she, yes, I am a person, I'm qualified to do this, and I witnessed all these signatures that have taken place, and I vouch for them, right? Organizers have a certain amount of time to gather this required number of signatures to force that recall election. There's a formula for figuring out those numbers, and they know what it is going in. They know how many signatures they're going to have to get. In the case of the MPS recall specifically, the numbers fluctuated because some of the directors are elected for a specific district, so only one area of Milwaukee. At least one of the seats on the board is at large, so represents the whole city. So for that one, recall organizers needed to collect more than 40,000 signatures. You know how hard that is? 40,000 signatures. Now, whether you're standing in a parking lot at the mall or walking door to door, 40,000 signatures. They turned in fewer than 30,000 names, which begs the question, why even turn it in?
Yeah, why even do it?
And I don't have a good answer to that question, especially given what I'm about to share. TMJ4's Megan Lee, I talked to her at the start here, started combing through some of these pages and pages and pages of signatures. And she took a small sample, and she found in this small sample that some of the names on there don't exist. Addresses don't exist.
I knocked on over a dozen doors. Some people didn't answer. At other addresses, no home existed.
And you don't know where a 5706 North 41st Street is.
There is no such thing.
There's no such thing?
There is no such thing. She's talking to people in the neighborhood. No, there's nothing there. She found addresses to vacant lots, a park, a grocery store, a school, a boarded up house. Lady's like, nobody's lived there for 10 years. So I don't know who's putting this down. Hmm. Some of these are sometimes mistakes. You grab somebody, they say, yeah, I'll sign it. And they end up not living in the district. And you didn't know that as a circulator. So
put in a fake address because they really don't want to have anything to do with this.
Yes, right. And that's not always the fault of the circulator.
Sure.
Tamika Johnson has been an outspoken critic of MPS. She has provided leadership on the issues facing students and families in Milwaukee, and she was one of the organizers of this effort. TMJ4 asked her, like, hey, what gives with all this?
All those other signatures, I have no idea who the people were. Out collecting the signatures, you may have to talk to the petitioner that went in with them to turn them in.
And she may not know. Again, this is a big effort, so I'm not suggesting that she necessarily did anything wrong. She did indicate to TMJ4 that she may have a news conference and answer questions about this process. But a couple of takeaways on all this, because here we are again. This stuff, recalls are hard. They're really hard to do. Maybe we got sort of lulled into this, like, well, let's recall everybody, because I was around for the Ament scandal at the county level, and people were as angry as they've been about politics in southeast Wisconsin, and they were very successful. They did have enough, although it never came to that, to kick the county executive out of office. It was a huge effort, and they pulled it off. They threw a bunch of county supervisors out of office as well. Those recalls were successful. They did have enough signatures to force a recall election of Governor Walker and Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish at the time. The elections were not successful, but those were gargantuan efforts. But outside of that, these things are really hard to pull off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On top of that, this stuff is not to be messed with. You had two failed recall attempts on Speaker Robin Voss. A lot of these types of shenanigans there, right? People outside the district on these papers, questions about who was collecting these signatures.
What makes the MPS one strange is that what you said at the very start of this, just about everyone agrees that there's a huge problem there and that there needs to be changes. Yet they struggled to find enough names and signatures.
And so that's my larger point. I don't know if there will be any energy to try to track down the petition gatherers here to pursue charges, which could happen. It's a violation of state statute to falsely do any of these things, whether as a signator or of a circulator. But the larger point is, you know, you have, in many cases, otherwise well-intentioned and fed-up people. Maybe they ought to be trying to find another way to motivate change than always knee-jerking into, all right, well, let's recall them. Because it's really hard to do, and it's fraught with peril. And here's just another case study in that. 820 on Wisconsin's Morning News. A24 on Wisconsin's Morning News this Friday morning. Program change. Normally we do the pancake breakfast special at 8:40-ish, but we're going to talk live with host of Wisconsin's Afternoon News, John Mercure, about the Democratic National Convention. Mercure was in the House for the big speeches as things wrapped up on Thursday. We'll check in with him at about 20 to 9. But each week around this time, you know, talk about a lot of things that might be part of our show on a regular basis, and not everything makes it into the rundown, so we ask producer of the program, Greg Pancake Hill, to whip up a little something with the leftovers in a special we call the Pancake Breakfast Special.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
Ha ha! You're old!
I have the answer to the question you all have once hearing this story, but more on that later. Order tranquility. Contact with nature, emotional stability, no worries, no regrets. Do you know who said that quote?
Sounds presidential.
That was, could be, has seen a lot of presidents actually, because that was Maria Brañas, formerly the oldest person in the entire world. She passed away last week, as we first told you on Wisconsin's Morning News. She made it to 117 years old.
You're 14,000 years old.
I mean, pretty much. I dug into Maria's past a little bit. She was a great story. Born in San Francisco, came over on a boat from Catalonia, Spain. She lived there until she was eight, and then she moved back to Spain with her mother, literally because they wanted to avoid the conflict in the First World War, which I had to double check like three times, because I said, First World War? Yes, the First World War.
F*** you're old.
The life this lady had was unbelievable. All the things she lived through, Spanish flu, World Wars I and II. She was also the oldest person ever to contract COVID-19 at 113 years old.
She's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old.
So also, Maria loved Twitter. Took to it all the time with the help of her daughter. She did that. She did that old person thing, right? They hand down various words of wisdom, albeit maybe not solicited. But hey, bring it on. You know, we need the advice.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What do you got?
Right. So I checked her Twitter, and she would tweet in Spanish. So my first takeaway was it's probably wise to learn Spanish because then I can read these words of wisdom. But thankfully, I translated it. She'd say things like, life is not eternal. It's for everyone. At my age, a new year is a gift. A humble celebration, a new adventure, a beautiful journey, a moment of happiness, and let's enjoy life together. But the best thing she ever said on Twitter, it was in her bio, it reads, Soc bella, mot bella, para no idiota, which I'm sure you can gather, also translated to, I'm old, very old, but I'm not an idiot.
And girl, you're getting old.
So we take these words of wisdom, we internalize it this Friday, and we answer the question you all have. Now, who is the oldest person in the world? Eric Bilstadt pointed out, as we reported, there's always an oldest person in the world, despite the oldest one not being with us anymore.
They can never die.
The oldest person in the world now is Tomiko Ituka, born May 23rd, 1908, 116 years old.
I'm not old. You're old.
Ituka celebrated her birthday 3 months ago. She received flowers, cake, and a card from the mayor of the town in Japan that she lives in. Her favorite food, bananas. She also hiked a lot. Still, even when she was 100 years old. So there's your answer to the question, who is now the oldest person in the world? It's Tomiko Ituka of Japan. I don't really have a secret to a long life. I don't really have a big, like, closing message. I will just say that doing research opens up your eyes a little bit, makes you think, wow, let's cherish every day because you never know when your time will be up. And you may wait 117 years for that day to come.
Here we go again. Yet another amazing moment that can be witnessed from this beautiful earth. This time it's in Iceland and it's a volcano.
Lava shooting into the sky. Mother Nature is putting on a show near the town of Grindavik. For these American tourists,
the coolest thing I've seen in my whole life, honestly.
It's very cool. At first I was a little scared. I was like, is this safe? But yeah, seeing it up close, yeah. It's actually very beautiful.
We've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, we don't have stuff like this happening in the U.S.
You know what that reminds me of? Sounds pretty cool. Kind of reminds me of the eclipse.
One of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Once in a lifetime experience.
Oh my gosh, once in a lifetime. Imagine seeing a volcano. What? Why?
I don't mean to think these things aren't cool. I would totally dig to see that. I'm just forever tainted because you dragged me down to Indiana to not see the eclipse. We missed it.
But there's so much more you could do in Iceland besides watching the volcano.
That's true.
So it would be value added, Vince.
You've been there, right?
I'm for it. Yeah. Right. I just, you know what? If Eric made us go, it'd be like done when we got there. We'd just a couple of puffs of smoke.
This was one of the most incredible things I think I've ever experienced. I don't actually have words to explain what I just saw.
It was so cool to see, like, everyone was cheering together. It just felt like everyone was coming together for, like, this super cool event.
Why do you keep picking this scab? Don't you still feel sad that we missed it?
Yes.
Right?
I have a deep depression that I'll never be able to get over. That's why I want to see the volcano now like Debbie did.
Well, the problem is that Grindavik is a town that is now empty because it cracked open and the lava has been flowing through the streets of Grindavik. So yeah, so that's kind of, you want to see it, but you don't want to be happy about it. So right. Yeah, that's the thing.
All right, well,
we there are other ones, though, in Iceland that are far away from people that are nice spectacular.
Volcanoes. Good, we'll go see those then.
Yeah.
Can't wait. All right.
I'm telling you, if we booked a trip, got on a plane, had the hotel, took the excursion to wherever, it would go out that morning. I don't know what happened. I guess it just stopped. That's what would happen.
No Corona!
I promise to be a president for all Americans. You can always trust me to put country above party and self.
Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, is now officially the nominee for president. The Democratic ticket, John Mercure, host of Wisconsin's Afternoon News, was there when it happened at the DNC in Chicago. He's live with us this morning. All right, dude, I guess first, how was Pink?
Pink was good. Pink was really, really good. The sound check was incredible. So Pink sang with her daughter, and so that means they had a lot to work out during the sound check because usually she's up there by herself. So she sang like three songs during the sound check. It was like a mini concert, and the place was just everybody paying attention. Pink was cool, but since you brought up Pink, I got to tell you, leaving last night with the 4,000 delegates, everybody was excited. It was Kamala Harris's moment, but I heard a lot of people disappointed because everybody thought Beyonce was going to be there. So here she gets the nomination, the week culminates, and everybody's like, where the hell's Beyonce?
Which is so unfair to Beyonce. Like, there was never anything official. Like, I feel like it was just people wondering out loud on social media, was she going to be there? And then it turned into a thing.
I even said to Vince, John, either Wednesday or Thursday, like, I think we even talked about it. Like, they got to nip this in the bud. Like, cut this off now, because otherwise all you're doing is inflating a disappointment.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, you know? So then some media outlets started to report that she's on the backstage security list. She's been issued a security pass. Where's her plane? Then, during the rehearsal part of the day, Eric, and you were there for this, at like 2 or 3 o'clock, they had a whole section where they started playing Bruno Mars music. So then everybody thought, Bruno Mars is going to be here. And so then that went crazy. And so then when there was only Pink, and I say only Pink because she's phenomenal, everybody was disappointed at the end of the night. It was the weirdest thing.
Meanwhile, Beyonce is at home on her couch going like, nobody called me. Like, I was supposed to be here. Like, this is not my fault.
Yeah, it was weird, but it was an interesting night. So last night had a definite different feel than all the other nights, and it began early. So as we set up for the show, which was from 3 to 6 every day, the bowl was mostly empty, and the seats in the upper decks were almost completely empty. Yesterday, at like 3 o'clock, the whole stadium was full. You could not find a seat anywhere. You could not see anything empty. It was very clear that everybody who is in Chicago for the convention wanted to be in the bowl in the United Center last night early.
So let's get to the speech itself from Vice President Harris. Politics of it aside, from a performance aspect, did it play as well in the hall as it appeared on TV? I thought she really did a nice job in terms of delivering her remarks.
It did play well in the hall. I guess let's just talk logistics for a couple minutes. She's not known as a good speech maker. That's not her strength.
That's not her thing.
The Obamas, so the expectation wasn't as high. It seemed in the hall like she really hit the right tones. But because she's not used to giving speeches, I'd be interested, you guys, in how this played out on TV. There were a lot of times where they were chanting USA, USA, or they were giving her an ovation, and she kind of walked over the top of that and went into her next point, didn't let it breathe, didn't let the hall really build and erupt. So there were little things like that, but there's a real enthusiasm for her, and I think people were hungry to hear her tell her story because she has not done that a lot on the stump, and she has not talked a lot about her parents, and she did last night, and that seemed to resonate in the hall.
You know, I think it played well on TV. Didn't get that sense probably as much as you did in person. Yet there is a cadence to public speaking, particularly in that where you're going to have applause, interruptions. You do get the sense, though, that they, like you indicated, they wanted to move things along so that they didn't end up in a situation like they were, particularly the first night and second night of the event, where your big speakers
so late
are going on too late for a lot of America.
It was odd because usually the last night's the longest night of the convention. It was the earliest. It was the earliest night of the convention. Actually, when she got done, a little bit after 10 o'clock, maybe 10:15 or so, and Beyonce hadn't been out there yet, and the balloons hadn't dropped, there was a moment where the balloons didn't seem to drop right away. And everybody was like, is it done? Is she really done? Did she skip the last third of her speech? But it was kind of refreshing in a way, because I think the opposite, and we saw this earlier in the week, was really dangerous because people in some parts of the country literally were not still awake.
How did the Republicans come off? That was one of the unique moments of the DNC in general, is the number of former or current GOP members that were willing to speak.
Well, I think it's powerful. I think it's interesting. I think if you can say, you know, hey, this person used to be on the Chicago Bears, and now here they are at Lambeau talking about how we're going to help win a Super Bowl because they're on the Packers now. I think that did play. And last night, Adam Kinzinger was a popular congressman in Illinois, Republican. And he spoke near the end of the night about why he's switching and voting for Harris. And he's been branded a traitor in Illinois by Republicans because he's daring to vote for Kamala Harris. I think that played. I think that resonated. And Tammy Baldwin got to talk last night. And I'm going to try to put this gingerly. Public speaking isn't her forte either. And she did a nice job, it seemed like.
Talking with host of Wisconsin's Afternoon News, WTMJ's John Mercure. He was there at the Democratic National Convention through the week and for the closing speeches on Thursday night. Think about where we were 1 month ago, John. Coming off the RNC here in Milwaukee, the Republicans had so much momentum. It started with the disastrous performance by President Biden, who at the time was the candidate in that debate. The assassination attempt on former President Trump. By all accounts, the Republicans staged a fantastic convention by their standards, one of the better ones that I can remember having witnessed. Everything went great. Trump had all the momentum. And then days later, the president drops out of the race. Democrats quickly coalesce around Vice President Harris. And now they have this event in Chicago, all the momentum on her side.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing. And in the days, she's going to be tested because a lot of people have spent a lot of time talking about how she's not doing press conferences. She's not done a big sit-down interview with a major media outlet, and that will happen. And the reason that didn't happen now is because of what you just laid out. She had all the momentum. There was no need or reason for her to do any of that. And she didn't want to jeopardize last night by having done an interview 4 or 5 days ago where maybe she was questioned and things turned. That's going to change going forward. And this is going to be a sprint this 10 weeks. It's going to be very, very interesting. And I had a consultant tell me, because we're all trying to get her on the show, and we're all trying to get Walls to do an interview. I had a consultant tell me that those opportunities are going to be less likely than they've ever been for local media in a presidential election because this is so compressed, because this is 10 weeks, because she has not spoken yet. The national media outlets are all lining up to talk to her. And 10 weeks out, traditionally, she's done 60 Minutes. She's done Stephanopoulos in the morning. She's done all of that stuff, and that has not happened. So her time is really, really compressed. It's going to be interesting to watch.
WTMJ's John Mercure. Great coverage through the week, John.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
And good to have you back in studio today.
It was fun, guys. Thanks for having me.
So as for today, Harris heading back to Washington, D.C. It's supposed to be a more of a quiet day for the campaign on the Harris-Wall side of things. For former President Trump, he will be in New Mexico and in Arizona today. In Arizona, he is supposed to get the endorsement. At least it's widely speculated that he is going to get the endorsement today from RFK, that Kennedy will, quote unquote, drop out of the race and put his support behind the former president.
Feels less consequential now than it might have a couple of months ago.
He's only on three of the battleground state ballots.
He hasn't found his way onto a lot of important state ballots, and kind of his whole thing sort of lost steam, it feels like. But we'll see what they come up with, and whether former President Trump says he made a deal of any kind and announces what that, like, he's going to have a spot in my cabinet. Or
you would
think
that you would assume he got something.
You don't give anything away for free.
And
right?
RFK was shopping. I mean, he reached out to the Harris campaign as well.
8:52 on Wisconsin's Morning News. WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. 80 degrees under sunny skies today. Turn up the humidity for the weekend with a high of 83 Saturday. Chance of showers and storm at night. Sunday, mostly sunny and warm and humid as well. Slight chance of a pop-up shower. Sunday's high 85. Come on out and see us. I'm going to be out at Mayfair.
That's right.
An hour from now, paving the parking lot with Johnson & Sons Paving.
Your designer pants that you got on. Designer work
Eric's
pants.
Making fun of my work pants. These are my like old
work
jeans
pants.
That are they're all full of paint and stuff. And he's accusing me of this not being real paint, Deb.
Debbie,
like that I
like...
bought them at Abercrombie. Yeah. Like this.
Did
for
he $230.
Right. Actually, that is a pretty nice looking Johnson & Sons Paving shirt.
I think they're going to give me a T-shirt because I don't want to get this one.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that's a
I'm literally paving asphalt. So,
oh, it'd be great. Good luck.
You're invited. Stop out at 10 o'clock. They'll have stuff to give away. Johnson & Sons will bet you can get yourself a can koozie or something, but a hat, and you can witness whatever is about to play out. Tausch said, he goes, yeah, it got a little complicated when they asked me to drive the paver in reverse. I'm like, I don't need to do any of these
your
things.
Face, you're like, reverse.
Jeez, reverse. I didn't even want to go forward.
I can't wait to see you paint the line.
Can't I just shovel? I'm happy to do the hard work.
Just don't let him sneeze as he's painting the line.
Right.
Right.
I need a big stencil for that. You can't go outside the lines, though. WTMJ's Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi up next.